We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt, your host this morning, sitting in today while Monica needed to be gone, and Miss Tina Dobbs is running the iPad, and our guest is Sister Judy Gifford. Good morning, sister.
Good morning, girl.
It's so good to see you.
Good to see you.
I missed it the last time you were here. Of course, I'm always watching on Facebook.
Are you?
Oh, okay. Yes. I'm always watching on Facebook.
On.
Yeah, I know what's going on. Don't want to miss out on any of my pastor friends or sister friends that have been coming for years and years and years.
This is one of the best ideas I think anybody ever had. I don't know any other city that does this.
Uh-huh.
It's just really unique. And I always think of your missionary call you had when you're young.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going around the world. Now Absolutely. That we've got this platform, it's not just the surrounding areas of Elk City. So That's how many right. years ago? 15, 17?
17 years.
17 years.
Yeah. 17 years, like the first Monday in December, I believe.
And you didn't even need a passport.
No, we didn't. How about that? If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can post it right on our Facebook page, or you can send it to 580-485-0837. About halfway through the program, we will stop and pray for you. And so send those in to us or post them on our Facebook page. Our sponsor today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, and we appreciate them. They've been with us for quite a while now, so we appreciate each one of our sponsors. I think maybe I've covered everything well, except we do record in two parts, and we'll put it over on our website when the program is over. So if you have someone who doesn't have Facebook, they can go there, and they can listen to it on our website on therockchristianmusic.com. Now I think I've covered everything. Sister Judy,
there
will you
go.
Pray?
Oh, yes. Much prayer. Father, we come to you today, and we do humble ourselves before you, knowing that truly we're nothing but clay in the potter's hands. You are the potter, and we are the clay. And Father, today I humble my heart before you, and I ask for your grace and mercy today. I ask for your victory and for your anointing. I ask for victory over every demonic thing, everything that tries to hinder, everything that would come in opposition. God, we know greater is he that is within us than he that's within the world. And we ask you today to bless what's said, anoint what's said, flow through us today. Bless everyone in the room and those who are hearing and will hear, God, that they will receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And so you're speaking today about praying.
The prayers of Paul.
The prayers of Paul, okay.
In Ephesians 1, it came to my mind last night. And I just been going through something. And, you know, sometimes when you're going through something, you don't even, it's like you can't see the forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really pinpoint what's going on. And so I was just telling the Lord, you know, Lord, you know all about this. You know the ins and the outs and the ups and the downs and things I don't know. But I truly believe that the answer is in your word. Mm-hmm. And I opened up to Ephesians and started reading it. And I'm going, oh, wow. Wow, what Paul has to say here. He was telling us here about Jesus. And it's, I'm going to, let's look over here for it says spiritual insight. Well, let me just read. Let me start at 1 and just read. It says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. This is kind of hard to understand. If you're not grasping it, hang on. We're going to dissect it here in a minute. That the dispensation of the fullness of his times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on the earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who have trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Oh, wow. We are to be a praise to him. Our lives are to be a praise to Jesus and to his glory. In him we also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. And I'm like, I went through that last night. So what is this actually saying? So it says, first it starts off and it says, we are blessed. They're talking about us, who we are. What are we? We are blessed. What are we blessed with? Every spiritual blessing. Mm-hmm. Every spiritual blessing. We are blessed. We're blessed in Christ and in heavenly places. We are chosen. Right there in first, all that I just read, it says, we are chosen just as he chose us in him. He chose us so we would be holy, without blame, before him in love. He also adopted us and he predestined us. And you got what? He pre-planned us. Mm-hmm. He pre-planned that we would choose. Now, everybody has a right to choose. They have an opportunity to choose. And I think probably everybody on this earth, hopefully that's why I said go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, is that everyone would have an opportunity to hear, that there wouldn't be anybody that didn't have an opportunity to hear. But it said he has predestined us to be adopted. Mm-hmm. So we're adopted into his family. He foreordained it. He planned it, that we all should be adopted. But he says, he gives us the choice. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Call upon me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Come boldly before my throne of grace, that you may find grace and mercy to help in time of need. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It goes on and on, the invitation does, for us to come to him and be adopted and accept it in his family. If we don't do that, a lot of people say, well, we're all God's children. Well, we are, in that we're born into this world, but really not. We're not his children until we've accepted Jesus. We're not part of the family of God, the body of Christ, until you've actually come and surrendered to that. If you've come to Jesus, you know it. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't, you know it. You know if you have him in your heart or if you don't have him mm-hmm. in your heart. Some of us have him in our hearts, but we backslide and we care. You know, sometimes we're not sure just where we are spiritually. But if you've come and you've asked him in your heart, you're striving, you're seeking the kingdom of God, you're trying, he hasn't kicked you out. Mm-hmm. He doesn't throw away the clay. When you make a mistake, he doesn't go, well, done with you. There you go. He doesn't do that. What we keep, even when we make mistakes, even when we do wrong, and the Bible says, I say unto you, little children, that you sin not. But if you do, you have an advocate with Jesus Christ the righteous. So he's not saying, when you sin, you're kicked out. Some of us have thought it's just that narrow of a way. But the way is narrow, but there's grace abounding on every side for our mistakes, for our sins. Just he says, come unto me, come boldly to me, pour out your heart before me, cast your care upon me, for I care for you. So when you've made a mistake, it's not like he's gone, shame on you. Now, if you're getting a whole bunch of shames on you, mm-hmm. you can figure out who it is. It's the enemy of your soul that's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you listen to those voices that come at you all the time, you're going to be pounded into the ground. And that's part of what's been going on with me. Mm-hmm. Is when the enemy came, I didn't stand up. And when you don't stand up, and if you give him one toe in the door. One toe. He don't intend to step in with one toe. That's mm-hmm. not his purpose. His purpose is to take the room and to take the house and to bring it down. Because mm-hmm. actually, he has nothing to give you. He will tell people, come and serve. He did Jesus. He told Jesus, if you will bow down and worship me, look at all I will give you. And he showed him the whole world and the mighty kingdoms of the world. And he showed him, I'll give you this. Well, first off, Jesus knew he's a liar. Mm-hmm. Would he do what he said? Will a liar do anything but lie? No.
Nope.
Is there any truth in him? The Bible says there's no truth in him at all. So he don't have truth to give. He don't have comfort to give. He don't have peace to give. He don't have joy to give. He don't have anything to give. So he has to use, because he has nothing, he has to pretend he has all things. He has to show you a mirage. He has that ability to make something look good. He can turn himself into, I don't know how he can do it other than he was an angel of light. Mm-hmm. And so he can turn himself into an angel of light. And he can entice you, as he tried to do Jesus, three times. The first one was with bread. Why did turn a rock into bread? Jesus had just heard, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, when he was baptized. And then he went into the wilderness, and he fasted 40 days. So the enemy left him alone while he was doing the fasting. But in his weakness, when in Jesus' physical weakness, hunger, you're pretty hungry after 40 days. That's pretty much starvation. You almost are at the edge. I think Lonnie did that once. And he said he did it because anybody that did anything really great for God fasted 40 days. So he fasted when he was our youth pastor for 40 days. And I thought the boy's going to die. In that time, I didn't know he had even started that, but I started a 17-day fast. I felt like the Lord wanted me to do that. And I was young then. But it was still a real difficult thing, and God carried me through that. And I was older than him, but that boy lost 40 pounds in doing that. So you know Jesus had lost a bunch of weight. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much Jesus weighed, but he had lost a bunch of weight, maybe 40 pounds. And he was pretty much to the point of hunger, starvation. But it said after he fasted, so he somehow through that fast didn't get hungry, apparently. I'm guessing because it says after he fasted, he was hungered. And then here came the enemy right in his weakness. And that's what the devil will do to you. He'll never come to you on your strong points. He'll always come to you where he can find a weakness. And I truly think that the enemy goes and he sends scouts out. And he sends scouts out to watch and find errors. Because here's something I found out. Our lives as Christians were covered in the blood of Jesus. And our lives are hid with Christ in God. The devil don't know everything about you. What we mess up and do, which is one of my mistakes, what we mess up and do is talk too much. And we tell everything because we're women. And we think, and I always just push that envelope a little bit too far. And usually mine was with prayer. And I opened up and said, would you pray for me? And then, yeah, they did. Well, would you pray me for this now? Another prayer. The devil didn't know that. He didn't know that about me. He didn't know. And I spoke and said, would you pray for this void I have in my heart for Thelbert? And the devil didn't know I had any void. And really, truly, I didn't. And Thelbert, I was with him 53 years. But Jesus was so filling me. I didn't need anything else, really. I should have been quiet. So here comes the enemy. Immediately after I'd prayed this, I was in Colorado. We had a meeting in Colorado. And here came the enemy and spoke to me. Literally spoke to me standing there. And I'm being pretty open with everybody mm-hmm. here. But and he spoke to me these words, I am your base. And I'm like, what? What? And I'm like, what is that supposed to mean? And then I'm like, later, I'm like, what in the world? Finally, I asked the Lord. What in the world? And the Lord gave me a dream. And he showed me, and this sounds so weird, but I was in an arena with a mean horse, a huge, like Clydesdale, except it was solid brown. And this thing was snorting at me. Its eyes were angry at me. It hated me. And this is a dream. And it was coming at me. And I started backing up, and it was like a wall there. It was boards, but there's no way to climb on it. There's nothing to catch. It's just solid boards up there. And it was over my head, and there wasn't anywhere to go to try to climb. You know, these cowboys jump the fence. You know, they can, when those horses get after them, they have a way to jump over the fence, and there wasn't any fence to jump. And this horse came at me, and then everybody laughed. Everybody laughs, but it turned around, backed up, raised its tail, and literally pooped all over me.
Oh, my.
Just, and you know, horses poop a certain way, but that in my dream, it wasn't like horses really poop. It was just like human diarrhea or something, uh-huh. You know, just all over, just poop all over me in my dream. And I was trying to find a trailer and to find a shower, and the shower wouldn't work, and I woke up, you know. The enemy, he doesn't play fair. He doesn't like you. If he sees potential in you for God, he will come after you. So you really, people who are in ministry, people who are strategically on the line working for God, you've got to get a hold of the Word of God and know how to get Ephesians 6 in you and how to put up your shields, how to deal with the devil who's going to come and talk to your mind. Don't think he's not going to talk to you. He's talking to people all the time. And we mistake his voice for ours and ours for his and God's, and we get all confused with whose voice is and who's speaking to us. And that causes a lot of trouble in the world because people say, well, the devil made me do it, or, well, God spoke to me and said. Well, and you have to be real careful giving prophecies to people. You better know it's God, not out of your own head. Someone asked one guy who does a lot of prophesying with people, and I asked him, how can you tell if it's you or God? He said, it's almost impossible. He said, you step out, and then you see if it comes to pass. And if it don't come to pass, it was you. If it came to pass, it's God. Because God's not going to tell you something's happened. It's not happening. But anyway, I don't know how I got off on that stupid dream. But anyway, just to say that we do have an adversary that is, the Bible says, as a roaring lion goes around. So he roars a lot. He's not a lion, but he goes around like a lion. Now, we have a lion on our side. He's called Jesus, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And he's a true lion because he's going to devour that old serpent one of these days. He's going to devour him. And he is our king. He is our Lord. He is our victory. He is our song. He is everything and everything. But the enemy has come. And remember, when the enemy comes, he's got one purpose, just one. And it's to kill, steal, and destroy.
And, you know, Judy, when you were telling about that dream a while ago, here's what dropped in my spirit. When that horse was coming after you and snorting and carrying on, and then when he turned around and he pooped on you, to me, that was the Lord that turned him around to show you that this is all that's going to happen when you follow them, that you're going to get pooped on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what dropped in my spirit, was mm-hmm. that the Lord allowed that part of the dream to happen so you could realize mm-hmm. that this is nothing but a mess and I'm going to get pooped on if I follow the enemy.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. And really, we're in an arena there, but we got to call on some help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't just take the enemy on ourselves until we've been endued with power from on high, until we're walking with Jesus. Then the Bible says that he's subject to us, and we can tell him, get out of here. You get out of here. And he has to, but you have to mean it. You have to mean it. And sometimes we don't even know what's happened. We don't know what's caused it. We don't know why we're being attacked. And we try to analyze it. And my husband used to tell me, Judy, you can't analyze a lie. You know, you try to analyze a lie and categorize it and figure it out, work it out. What's a lie? So what do you do with a lie? You cast down every imagination. The Bible says, for though we walk in this flesh, we do not war after this flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. And there's going to be a lot of imaginations that people just run their mind through, things that the devil wants you to think. He'll want you to have a pattern he wants you to think. And then you can build, I think, electrodes to those patterns where you can't hardly think anything different. You just go right to those patterns. and that's the way you think, and it's a harming pardon me, way to think. And we need to build new patterns with the Word of God and get this Word of God in us, like this Ephesians here telling us our victories and our what we have. Let me finish this so I can get to the gooder part over here. This is, we are adopted as sons to Jesus Christ. And it said, according to his good pleasure, he was pleased to do that. And Jesus died on the cross, even though he didn't want to do it. God was pleased that Jesus was willing to do that and yield his life. And if we can yield to all God's will and just yield our will to his will, that's a big deal, yielding your will. And Jesus, it was quite difficult for him. He sweat great drops of blood trying to get to that point to yield the flesh part of him down and pick up the sins of the world and become sin. I know that was probably his worst day. That was his worst day ever on earth, was the day of crucifixion, and yet he did it for us. So we're accepted in the beloved. Some people, acceptance is a real wonderful thing. Have you ever been somewhere where you didn't feel accepted? You didn't feel like you belonged, and you, the people in the room, you could just tell that there's something in the air, they didn't like you, and there's something going on, you don't feel, I don't fit right now, something's wrong. One lady said when she was single, Ann was her name. She wrote, I love the word impossible, Ann Kimball. And she said she went to her friend's house and they'd had a new baby. And she said the new baby, she just realized all the acceptance, all the love that went into that new baby brought into the home. And she's like, I want that. I want that kind of acceptance. And she wasn't married. And she said, when family had all get together, I get stuck in a back somewhere on a single bed in the foyer, you know, or somewhere, you know, someplace, you know. And she's just comparing. And then she went to school in Hawaii, Alaska or Hawaii. Anyway, somewhere where her skin is real white and freckled and everybody else's skin was dark. And they were prejudiced against her because she and her sister were twins and they were different. So she knew prejudice. But there's something so special about being accepted. But when you come to Jesus, he said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You're accepted in the beloved. That's the scripture here. He says, I'm accepted in the beloved. So when you come to Jesus, you're accepted. You're accepted. And it says, then I'm redeemed. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So we are forgiven. I've got those right here together. We are redeemed, and together we are forgiven. And, oh, man, they say that's what people like to hear. The three words they like to hear is, I love you, I forgive you, and supper's ready. Those are the three things people love to hear. So being forgiven. Have you ever really messed up and you go to somebody and they go, sure, yeah, fine. If you go to my mother and ask forgiveness, she'd say, for what? Mm-hmm. She'd what'd you do? Well, I talked cranky. Oh, I don't remember it. She wouldn't accept. She would just always not let any barriers be there. She would just always go, you know what? We're good. We're good. We don't have any problems. We're accepted and we're forgiven with Jesus. And then lastly here, I think it's the last one here. It says, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you go, you're sealed. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you're blessed, you're chosen, you're predestined to be adopted, you're adopted, you're accepted, you're redeemed, you're forgiven, you're sealed. And that's that part of it. And then we go over to this other part. It's prayer for spiritual wisdom. And so I want to read this part, and then we'll analyze it a little bit. And this is so good. Do we need to pray first?
We can, if you're to a little stopping place.
Yeah.
Tina, I apologize I didn't get these to you. We want to pray for Karen Johnson, who's recovering from a surgery she had a week or so ago.
Okay.
And she has to take it easy for 6 weeks.
Oh, wow. That's and hard.
Yes, because that's going to put her up about the middle of December. So,
Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Well, Thanksgiving and getting ready for Christmas and all that. So
right.
We just need to pray for speedy and correct healing.
Can I have somebody go shop for her?
Well, I don't know, you know, but anyway, we just need to lift her up.
Yeah.
And then Diana Butler is having knee surgery today, so we want to remember her. We want to pray for the family of Neva Churchill. She's the only other Neva in Roger Mills County. How about that?
There's two of us.
There's been two of us, yeah. She went to her heavenly home. Such a precious, sweet lady. And then I give a little report on my brother. I'd like you to continue to pray for him, Dean. He's making some progress, but he has a long road of physical therapy ahead of him. You may not know, Judy, but he had a brain bleed, and he fell a couple of weeks ago, and just hit right here on the bridge of his nose. They didn't think too much about that, but the next day his speech began to be slurred. Went to the ER in Woodward, and they discovered that he had a brain bleed. So it was a miraculous thing that he had that little fall, tripped on something and fell.
So they found it.
They found the brain bleed, which they said he'd had when they got in there and did surgery for over a month. A lot of dried blood in his brain, and it pushed his brain, in his head. It had pushed his brain over to the side, actually.
So much of it.
Yeah, so much of it. So he's just got a long road of recovery ahead of him. They've had him.
God good.
Yes, he is. They'd had him in an induced sleep while they had him on the respirator, and but they took that off of him Sunday, about a couple of hours before we got over there. And he was able to nod yes and no, and he was able to give a thumbs up and, you know, interact a little bit. But that's really the first time.
And he knows the Lord?
We believe he does. I know he made a decision as a young man.
So
and
he
even
knows.
Did some preaching.
So, he did?
Yes, even did some preaching when he was in high school around Roger Mills County.
Yeah.
His life has taken.
He's been calling.
Yeah. His life has doesn't show much fruit. Mm-hmm. Through the years, but he and his daughter and I were talking the other night after I left, actually, and I said, you know, I prayed with him a couple of times. I've prayed with him, you know, there, but for some reason, I never thought to say, now, brother, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you would be? Mm-hmm. And I feel like he does, and his daughters feel like he does, but like I say, his life hasn't shown much fruit.
Well, he hadn't had an opportunity if he's just now really rededicated.
Yeah. So, anyway, Jennifer said, I will pose that question to Dad tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, praise the Lord for that. And I just was disappointed in myself. And one other time when I didn't ask somebody that question, and I was telling Joe about it, and he said, that's not like you at all. You're pretty much one to close the sale.
Yeah. Well, maybe it wasn't the right timing.
Well, maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
If it didn't enter your mind, it must not have been.
So, anyway, so let's pray for these needs.
Okay. Well, the Bible says that if two agree as touching anything, it will be done unto them. It says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. I quoted this other one, come unto me and come boldly before my throne that you may find grace and mercy to help in time of need. And then Jeremiah says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. So we have a lot of invitation to come before the throne of grace, every right to come before the throne of grace and ask for